This is the Two Marketeers podcast, where hosts and marketing experts Sean Patrick and Lindsay Waugh seek to uncover what makes brands so powerful and how they impact modern society and culture.
Two Marketeers, they've got a podcast, the Two Marketeers podcast.
Hello, Sean.
Hi, Lindsay.
Hello. How are you today?
I'm good. My beard looks a little unruly. I'm wearing a black shirt, white beard.
It's very strategist of you.
Oh, my son would say it's very architect of me. So.
Oh.
It's a lot of things.
I'm also in my black today. So here we are looking impossibly sophisticated.
And you brought your shoulders with you. Way to go.
I know.
My actual
shoulders stop here.
Oh, it's interesting. As we're doing this, all of a sudden the sun is shining, which is interesting since I woke up to snow on the ground.
I know. It's weird.
As we approach spring.
Second day of spring.
Oh, second day of spring. Why did I think March 21st was spring?
It's supposed to be March 21st. I went through this yesterday because one of my daughters is like, it's the first day of spring. I was like, impossible. It's not the first day of spring. And then we Googled it. Turns out it's March 19th. So I don't know. I investigated no further than that.
Anyways, I think we win. It's March 20th and there's snow on the ground. So it's not spring.
Yeah, it's our podcast. So we win and that's it.
Exactly. It's all about what we think. Speaking of,
what do we think? What do we think today?
I'm fired up about something, and this topic today, which is about AI and how it's going to replace creative.
I believe it's replacing all of our marketing jobs, isn't it?
Mostly, yes. Yes. However, as a creative, the threat is clearly directed at people who are creative, because AI, why pay people who are creative when AI can do it just as well, but for free?
Bull-loney. If bologna had two L's, it would be bull-loney.
I like that. There's a quote for our social media.
Yeah.
Okay. I might get a little bit passionate here.
Can't wait. It's usually okay. You talking me off a ledge, so.
I don't know if I'm on a ledge. I have been on a ledge because of the same topic. This time I refuse to go on the ledge.
Okay.
Cue soapbox. Yesterday, something got my attention. And it was an article from CMS Wire from the 13th of March, so like a week ago. And the headline says, Sam Altman, AI will replace 95% of creative marketing work.
I'm surprised we even showed up here today, since we no longer have jobs. Unless we're this random 5% that's left.
And we can't do this because we don't have time. We're too busy finding a new career.
That's right.
Sam Altman says 95% of what marketers use agencies, strategists, and creative professionals. The latter two in particular.
I'll see myself out.
Ah, 95% of what marketers use agency strategists and creative professionals for will be handled by AI at nearly no cost. Thank you, Mr. Altman, for that brilliant insight.
I thought we weren't having an existential crisis today.
Today?
Or.
It's, in the past, it would have been made me very uncomfortable, feel very vulnerable. And this time it just makes me angry.
Yeah. So were you like, tell me more?
Well, yes. And then it just was more of the same. In the article itself, it's sort of like, okay, now we have your attention, you know, and then it goes to that sort of like, well, this is really what AI is good for. And this is, you know, and I'm sort of like, you lost me at the quote.
Yeah.
I had to think about why I was just, I wasn't like super worked up. I just was like, enough. Like it was almost helpful to me. Enough. And you know why? Because it's mean.
Yeah, mean girl.
And what it says to me, which is something I'm really grappling with, is there's two ways of doing business. I mean, there's a lot of ways to doing business. Mm-hmm. There's two scenarios, two games you can play. One is win-win, where everybody benefits by working together, collaborating to solve a problem. People get paid for their work. Businesses do well as a result of it. And these relationships form. And it's always about, as long as everybody's winning, we're winning. The other business is win-lose.
Mm.
And this is the perfect example of that competitive, you know, it's the nature of a lot of people. It's not wrong to want to do well and succeed in business. Mm-hmm. But to me, it's wrong if you do it thinking that you're doing it at the expense of something else.
Yeah. So in order for people to win in the future, you feel like he's saying that all of these people have to be sacrificed in order for business to be able to win.
Let me think about that. Like it's the game's over is what it is. It's almost like if you think equate it to sports, it's like, you know, boxing or anything like that. And it's the trash talking, you know, it's that sort of like, I've already won this. And it's like this, it's this sort of ego boosting kind of thing you have to do when you have to win, when you have to beat someone else, you have to pump yourself up and you have to get everyone around you energized. And that's the sport. Mm-hmm. One person comes out the winner, as long as they can remain a winner. And here comes this, I did my little bit of research, 38-year-old entrepreneur who runs OpenAI. And apparently he knows everything, not just about AI, but about business and the whole history of it. And it's the culture it drives. There is such a tension between business and creativity. And I wish I knew where it came from, because it's like, the spirit of this has happened many times in my career, whether it was the technology has taken over. Technology has always been positioned as a threat to creatives, whether it's desktop publishing, web, you know, the World Wide Web. Is now that this happens, the people you use for this are no longer necessary.
Right.
How does that sound appealing to anyone?
Yeah, it's fear. It's, I think, trying to get a lot of attention through the headlines by making people fearful of their futures and their lives and their jobs.
Right. The interesting, maybe there's irony there, but the part they're taking out is the, I'll say, the smartest people as it comes to solving problems. That's what, you know, creatives are. That's what, you know, when you think of strategists and designers and copywriters and all those people. Agencies are hired to do what the client knows they can't do.
Right.
And now the thing is, actually, marketers, you can do it yourself.
Right. Yeah. It's interesting to think about it like they're taking out, like making obsolete the people who can solve the problems in the best way, when actually, I think the thinking should be that technology is going to free up a certain amount of time from those people that can enable them to do more valuable thinking. It's not that those people will now be obsolete. It's just a shift in how their time can be spent to get to greater creative work.
Absolutely. And that's important to state, because what I know to be true is I actually don't find AI a threat because I use it. I use it. Precisely for the reasons that you just said. Saves me time doing stuff better than I would have done in less time. But in absence of me, I believe that the value of what it delivers is like mediocre at best.
Yeah. Currently great at kind of general research and first draft type of things, but then there is still that like human instinct and element involved in choosing what research to use from what AI has gathered, or what you do with that research, or what you do with those ideas, or like we were talking about in one of our last conversations, like what defines choosing a best creative idea. Like, I think in that article, they talk about how you can get to like ideas and strategies and research and images almost perfectly. I would argue that that's not at all true, that you get to a bunch of stuff and there's still experience and taste and strategy involved in choosing what the best things are to bring forward to actually make stuff effective. Not just bringing anything forward, it's choosing the best things to bring forward, whether that's research, whether that's a creative idea, whether that's strategy. I think it still largely relies on the human element.
It's a decision.
Yeah, it is a decision. And they're saying, when I was reading about this morning, is that the human instinct involved in those decisions is currently something that's not done well by AI. It's the decision-making process. They equated it in what I was reading about to laundry as an example. Like a robot can collect laundry around your home and sort it into colors, but a robot doesn't know the nuance of fabric yet. It doesn't know how to make decisions based on like dry cleaning. It doesn't know how to factor in any kind of human instinct or element, even into like automated tasks. So it's the decision making that is currently not at a state where it needs to be to take over humans' jobs.
And my argument is, nor should it ever be.
And it may never be. Yes, it may never be.
Using these kind of things, things like AI, to improve how we think, to accelerate thinking the right way, will only make us smarter.
Right.
And that's a lot more exciting of a statement, especially from the CEO of a company that can enable. Wow. That's how he puts it?
Yeah.
The only thing I can do to move on from it is it's just mean.
Yeah.
And it is something I have encountered many times in my career. And you know, whatever it is I feel that technology-driven success, where what is proven very quickly to the entrepreneur who does it well is that they know how to make money. And that becomes what they're best at. It becomes what they want to be best at, and it becomes what they're valued and wanted for. And then what happens is, I've worked with a lot of companies or people that believe that are so impassioned by technology, their idea is that technology will change the world and everyone needs to get out of the way.
Mm.
Isn't that the opposite of what we believe technology is?
Yeah. It's an enabler to helping great people do great things. It's just an AI is another tool in our toolbox to enable humans to do great things. It's not currently able to replicate the things that make humans so great at what they do.
Yeah. I look at that kind of statement and I know what's happening is the idea is to influence the decision makers on their budgets. You know, sales. These people, like this person is a brilliant salesperson and he's doing a great job selling. And like you said, he's creating fear. And to what end? To be able to really win the hearts and minds of the people who are afraid what to do next with their money. The businesses that are afraid. Capitalizing on the uncertainty.
And in times where budgets are not loosening up, like they are incredibly tight and probably only going to become more restricted as time goes on, like selling something as services that can be done cheaper and for free is not going to like make the work better. And I really feel like it goes back to what we were talking about before. Like I said earlier, like how do you define greatness in creativity and in marketing? And
who teaches you that, right?
Yeah. Who teaches you that? Who's making the decisions of what comes out of AI, what is great and what is not? I think that's the biggest gap. And we're going to be flooded with mass amounts of mediocre work that you'll eventually say, did that actually make an impact on the business, or was it just more clutter being put out into the universe by people who couldn't decide what was great and what was not?
Yeah.
And there's so much work around creative effectiveness driving business results.
Yes.
Better ideas do perform better in business. They do drive better results and better sales and better impact on customers. And there's tons of research out there from very reputable global companies that say that to be true. And now I just think the challenge is, how are people supposed to be able to choose what performs best when they don't have the advice of experienced creative people?
Yeah. And thank you for setting the stage for my favorite quote. How hard could it be when I have technology that promises to solve all of my problems for free? Yes. I'm in.
Yeah. Yeah. How hard could it be?
And it's maybe that's what I reacted to, is this sort of the hurt behind it's this kind of tone that's like, what did we do wrong? What did we ever do to you? And I say, we, as those people who are independent thinkers, those people who the pressure is on them to actually solve the problem, not just sell one, the people actually accountable for truly solving the problem. That's angst enough for us. But then to be told, and guess what? Thanks for your help. We got this.
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of two things. It's either realizing the role of the marketer or redefining the role of the marketer on the brand side. So in realizing the role of the marketer, it's almost like the marriage between like accounts or like client service with an agency and the marketer. Those two roles married together are in charge of ensuring that the creative idea delivers to the business.
Yes.
Right? So the agency creative brings the best ideas forward, and there's then a collaboration between creative and the business to make sure that that creative idea lands in the business and delivers the results it needs to. Or if we are now going down a path of redefining the role of the marketer, they are now delivering the business, developing the product strategy, which they would have been doing anyway, but they're also then developing the brand strategy, developing campaign strategies, developing creative platforms and ideas, developing execution plans. And so like that type of unicorn, if that's even possible, which I would argue that it's not, it's just a completely different role and type of person and expertise that needs to be in there doing that. And I'm not sure that that person exists.
It all goes back to a couple things I want to do in this episode. I assure you, creatives, if you're really good at what you do and you work really hard to be good and you love, or at some point really loved what you do, do not let this kind of language, this kind of bullying discourage you. Because what will happen, it always happens, is it will shake things up and everyone will land in the place they should land.
Yeah. Can I add something to that?
Yes.
And you can tell me if this is too much pressure, but it's what I tell myself, that your job in that scenario is to ensure that you go from mediocre to excellent, because technology will be able to do things in a mediocre way. And those are the jobs that are going to be taken. So it's your job to ensure human creative excellence in however you can make that happen, so that you're not producing the same thing technology produces.
Yeah. I don't think it's threatening at all. As a good creative, if, you know, like, you have to be aware of what you have to give and what that's worth.
Right.
And what feeds my motivation is knowing that I'm always trying to do better. And the outcome of that, not only for the people I did it for, but for me, what I learned, how I challenged myself, how I learned to evolve my process to be more agile. When you think that way, you're going to be one of those people that AI will only make better.
Yeah.
The industry will evolve and AI will be this time out of a million points in history, something that really shakes things up, right? Sort of like metaverse. Remember? Oh my God. Remember when no one knew what the metaverse was? Oh, wait. Don't let the shiny new things that are threatening to replace you make you feel inadequate. Let them make you feel like you can do it better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we will for quite a while see a divide between technology produced mediocrity in marketing and advertising and accelerated human brilliance. Like there will be those things.
Yeah. I want to share this advice from Mark Ritson. He writes for The Drum. He's an opinion journalist, or at least I read his opinion pieces. And he wrote it, it's in The Drum, and he wrote it in 2015, July 2015.
Great.
Okay, he says, back in the day when marketers realized that their main challenges revolved around market research, brand positioning, product strategy, and pricing, there was a much clearer awareness that creatives were a separate species. He talks about himself and he says, I worked for several companies famed for their creative prowess. And the irony was that I and the marketers I worked with at these brands never thought for a second we were creative in any way. We knew our place, which was at the analytical and strategic end of the process, and then fed the creative teams. But today, too often marketers don't see the need for external creative, or when they do use them, they overbrief people by sketching out their shit initial ideas and asking them to work from there. Creativity is an amazingly powerful and important element in marketing success. It's just not something that we marketers should be doing ourselves.
Boom. Perfection.
I know.
Chef's kiss. Thank you so much, Sean. Let's stop with the fear. I'm all over this.
Thanks, Lindsay.
Thank you. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening. Bye, marketeers.
Thanks for listening to the Two Marketeers podcast. New episodes launch every 2 weeks.
Find the Two Marketeers podcast on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, or wherever you like to listen. And be sure to rate and subscribe.
Listen on our website, thetwomarketeers.ca, or you can ask Alexa to play the Two Marketeers podcast.
Want to keep in touch? Follow the Two Marketeers on LinkedIn or at Two Marketeers on TikTok. We've always got something to share.
This podcast is over.